Today I'm going to talk about the Laplacian B random walk, or talk a little bit about that, then I'm going to talk about the natural continuum analog of it. But let me start by discussing the Laplacian walk. I've drawn a little picture here. For the Laplacian walk, there's a parameter B, a real parameter. And right now, think of the set K. The set K is the lattice set of the yellow and the purple dots, and two fixed boundary points of the set, which I put as the X's. Let me just call that Z and that W. And I wanted to find the Laplacian B random walk starting at Z, ending at W, in the domain K. And to do it, I do it step by step. So I'll give you the transitions. Suppose I've done this much so far, and I'll call this what I've done so far omega. Then to do the next step, what I look at is we let h of k minus omega, so actually of x, x is a point in here, be the probability that simple random walk exits the set k minus omega at W. Sorry, my W is an omega. This is W. So for any point here, I have this function, which is the solution of the discrete Laplace equation, with boundary value 1 here and 0 everywhere else, including here, and harmonic in this side, inside. And then basically, I'm going to choose one nearest neighbor, and I choose my nearest neighbor based on this function raised to the bth power. So basically, the probability, the next step is to x in this picture, where x is the nearest neighbor of where I am, is just given by this to the bth power over the sum over all nearest neighbor y's, all other possible y's of this, just a normalizing factor. Or shorthand, basically you choose your step based on the harmonic function to the bth power. And if you do this, if I have a finite set like this, I will actually produce a finite self-avoiding path starting at Z, ending at W. Now, one particularly well-known case is B equals 1, which is the same as the loop race walk. Let me just say it in words. If I started at Z and did a simple path allowing self-intersections, but conditioned so that it left the domain at W, and then erased the loops of what I got, that would be the loop erase walk. And it's an easy exercise. I'll have a few homework exercises today, but since this is the last class, this is the take-home final. So, okay, to show that the loop erase, what you get from loop erasure, is the same thing as the Laplacian walk with B equal 1. Now, this definition is highly non-symmetric in Z and W. I start at Z, I end at W. If B is equal to 1, the path that one gets, the distribution is exactly the same as you go from W to Z. That's not expected to be true for other b's, and it's not exactly true for certainly for some values of b. It's not always. This is not really a reversible process. If for b equals 1, it is, but for other processes, it's not. Other b's, it's not. However, because it is built up from random walk probabilities, which are harmonic functions, free harmonic functions, in the limits you get harmonic functions, and which will be conformally invariant, and you might hope that you get some sort of conformal invariance. Now, whether you do or not, I cannot say for sure by any means, and there are some definite questions. But what I want to show you is that even if there is problem taking the discrete limit, there is a natural SLE that corresponds to this and is the natural candidate for the limit. And I want to derive how to find which SLE it is. And in order to do this, I want to just mention one little property about the path. And this is why I actually have two sets. So K is the green and the purple points. K prime is just the green points. So K prime is a subset of K. So maybe I should put a sub here. This is the probability the next step was to X, given that I have omega, if my domain were K. Suppose I did the same thing, but I had K prime. Let me write this as Z K of omega. It really depends on B as well, but it's just the normalizing factor which depends on omega. Then probability K prime next step would be HK prime over the normalizing factor. Let me put the normalizing factor over here. And now what I'm going to do is actually multiply this by, this term here. I'm going to avoid a little writing here. Let me put that term there, and let me just compensate for having it put there. So I think what I did was legitimate. And the reason for writing this is what I want to say is the probability using K prime that my next step is to X is equal to, well, the same thing as if I were using K times a certain factor that depends on X times a normalization that doesn't depend on the X. This is just something normalized to make it to 1. And note this normalization, this right here, this quantity here is exactly the probability starting at X that I stay in K prime given that I leave the domain at W. So this is the conditional probability of staying in K prime. So another way of saying it is if I want to do the Laplacian B walk in a smaller domain, I can start with the Laplacian B walk in the larger domain and then weight the steps again by the probability of staying in the smaller domain. This depends on omega, but not on X. It's the sum over these quantities. It depends on omega, but not on which of these you're going to. So it's just a normalization factor. Whenever you take a step weighted by something, you have to normalize to make a probability once, right? This doesn't stay up very well. So the basic fact is Laplacian B walk in K prime is Laplacian B walk in K weighted again by probability I stay in K prime raised to the B power. That's what this formula says. And this is the property we're going to try to reach, we will assume in the continuum limit. So, if the Laplacian B walk has a conformally invariant limit, and by the way, let me say now, just that's a very big if. So, I'm not saying I know for sure that this is correct, even you know, gut-wise, this is a big if. But if Laplacian B has a conformally invariant limit, well, one thing you'll see, almost by the definition of it, it satisfies this Markov property on pads. Sort of, the definition tells me we have the conformal Markov property. And basically, the conformal Markov property tells me my candidates are SLE kappa. This is the last talk of this conference. I think I can say that without any more explanation. But it doesn't tell me which kappa by any means. But the other thing is the fact is that if the limit exists, we should have Laplacian B1, or let's see, actually maybe I will put some notation. I'm going to call the conjectured limit LMB for Laplacian motion B, sub B, just to give it a name. LMB in smaller domain is LMB in larger domain weighted by probability. I'm gonna be rough and be more precise in a second. Random walk stays in smaller domain. Raised to the B power. And let me now be a little more precise about exactly what I mean by that. But basically, we've got this. So, let me look at the chordal case, which is the chordal SLE kappa from 0 to infinity, or chordal in H, in the upper half plane. So suppose that were my Laplacian motion B. There's SLE cap in the upper half plane. What happens in a smaller domain? Well, suppose I take a smaller domain than the upper half plane. Right now, I don't need to restrict to simply connected domains. There's a smaller domain. We have this quantity, random walk stays in the smaller domain. What is the analog here? Well, the continuum limit of the random walk starting here ending at infinity is what's a Brownian excursion. So the random walk is a Brownian excursion in the upper half plane. Given that, let me just call it domain D, I'm actually going to define this quantity now. So given a domain D in the upper half plane, subset of the upper half plane, and an X which is real, let me just define QD of X to be the probability that the Brownian excursion starting at X stays in D. Then if I want to describe what happens, basically, locally, the Laplacian motion B in D corresponds to, SLE kappa, or Laplacian motion B in H, weighted by locally this quantity. And again, I'll be a little more precise in a second. Oh, by the way, one other assumption, not only is it a conformal Markov property, we also want the prop thing to actually be a conformally invariant. The measure to be conformally invariant as such. I'm not sure that it actually follows from what's written up there so far. Okay, maybe I already do have it. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, I do already have it. Thank you. I was about to use this fact, but I wasn't quite sure I had it on the board. Okay. So, what I'm about to tell you is the right kappa is given by the following. B is equal to... Okay, for a lot of this talk, I will use A rather than kappa. A is just 2 over kappa. And so... we've seen this in some of the talks already, 6 minus kappa over 2 kappa. That's the same B. So if you're given B, here's the kappa. Now, a couple of comments. B can be real, doesn't have to be positive. But if I take something to a negative power or to the zero power, it's always should be considered times the indicator function that this number is positive. The indicator, so. And if B gets very negative, this whole model seems to collapse. So you actually can't solve this for every value of B But for those that you have, that is your conjecture. Now, why is this number chosen? And I will prove this in a bit, but let me tell you why this is chosen. Because we're supposed to have this property. There's the property. We know what Laplacian MB in D is for simply connected D. So, for simply connected D, we know what SLE kappa in D is. It's by conformal invariance, it's the conformal image of SLE kappa in the upper half plane. So in order for kappa to be a candidate, it has to be the property, it has to follow that I can get SLE kappa in D by taking SLE kappa in the upper half plane and weighting it by this. And as we're going to see in the formulas, this tells me what, this only works. For, well, for that particular assignment of things. Now, I want to put, so that's the intuition for looking at the particular process I'm looking at, but now I want to just start and define the process from scratch. And one of the reasons is just to understand SLE a little bit better, and also because I want to put some of the formula to see what happens when we have non-simply connected domains, because this quantity, as stated, does not need simply connectedness. It's perfectly well defined otherwise. Okay. So let me start with a standard picture that we've seen a lot. Sure. Yeah, I will be more precise on this. Maybe you can just wait for the more precise. It's whatever the local tip is. But I need to get a little notation to be a little more precise, and that's exactly what I'm setting up with right now. So maybe that'll help. So my D can look like some holes and maybe some holes there too. So there's D. I am assuming, I won't put down the assumptions, I am assuming that there are no holes near the origin or near infinity. So all the holes lie away from zero infinity. I'm not dealing the singular cases. Okay. I'm also assuming finally many holes, but that probably can be relaxed. Okay. Then this is one. Yes. Right. So if the velocity B watches, it has to be SLE kappa for some kappa. Right. So, okay. In fact, yeah, well, let me answer a little bit better. Okay. So, the Laplacian walk motion, as I'm defining it, I'll call it the Laplacian motion. Okay. If the candidate is the limit of the Laplacian walk, I don't know, but I can call it Laplacian motion because I made up the term. Laplacian motion in simply connected domains will be exactly SLE in those domains. When I go to non-simply connected domains, there are a number of ways of extending SLE to non-simply connected domains. Laplacian walk will refer to a specific extension that comes from this. And that's why I give it a new name, because in non-simply connected domains, it's referring to a particular kind of SLE in a non-simply connected domain, which is not the most natural for some other problems, by the way. So that's what they're going to get to. Okay, so I want to I want to set up some notation here. As usual, not usual, as a lot of people do, that point will be denoted as U sub T. This will be the map G sub T. And if the domain over here is D, I'll let D sub T be the domain over here. Now, my own little pet thing that's not getting a lot of support yet, but I'm going to make my case for this. SLE was parameterized by a choice that was made, by Yonah and Schramm very reasonably, what he did was write down the Leibniz equation, assume that the capacity, what's something called H capacity, grows at rate, constant rate 2t, and then show that this had to be a variance, has to be a Brownian motion with a particular variance. I find it very easier to work with Brownian motions with variance 1. One can make this variance 1 if one could say that ut will always be variance 1, and what instead you do is you change the rate at which you grow the tip. So SLE 2 over kappa, which is A, SLE A, is the solution that satisfies this. GT prime of Z equals A minus U sub T, where U sub T is a standard Brownian motion. Rather than having, so aesthetically, square root of kappa doesn't look very nice to me, just personally. So my formulas will be, I'll use A instead of kappa, but it's just, A is just 2 over kappa. And then this is what it would be if it were just SLE in H. Sorry. I wrote this wrong. This is SLE 2 over A. I wrote this wrong. This is SLE kappa, where kappa is 2 over A. I wrote it wrong again. Okay. Well, you know what I mean. Kappa and 2 over A of this. Okay. I'm not sure how to write it. Okay. This is what it would be if it were in H. And now, for the Laplacian motion B in D, what we do is we weight locally by, at this point, the right quantity is Q. The X to put in is U sub T. The domain is d sub t raised to the b power. So you try to do normal SLE, except what you do is you weight things. Now, for those who are less experienced with SLE, when we're dealing with SLE, things like kappa rows or SLEs with drift, there's two ways of looking at SLEs. One is taking SLEs and giving certain kinds of drifts to the thing to make them absolutely continuous. The other way of thinking about it is taking SLE and weighting the paths by a function. Basically, the Gersonov transformation tells us that these kind of viewpoints are equivalent. But I want to take sort of, for many times I think weighting by a function is an easier way of thinking about it than writing down the drift. But what I want to do is write down some of the equations which tells me what the drift will be in this case. So the Laplacian, we want to weight locally by this. That's, you can think of that as being the definition of the Laplacian motion. Or if you wish, I'm now going to derive what the drift has to be. But I want to, and want to write down some of the equations that one gets. Okay. I'm just going to call this term QT easier. And if I'm interested in doing this, the first thing I want to do is to write down the SDE for DCT using Ito's formula. Now, when you do Ito's formula on something like this, you need the spatial derivative of this which are, you can just write as spatial derivatives. But you also need a time derivative of this function. And that's a little subtle, and that's where I want to give you, to tell you what you get. So in preparation for solving this, I want to give you a certain time derivative. And I'm going to, so, and I will tell you what it is, because it's okay. So suppose I have, let me go back to just the domain D. And suppose I grow any path here. You can think of being a simple path. Grow any simple path. It doesn't have to be a simple path. But let me parameterize this by H capacity. And actually, I'm going to parameterize this so it's actually the H capacity of this is T. It seems most natural to use T. Most of SLE uses 2T. But for this, I'm going to parameterize it by T. Suppose the H capacity is parameterized by T. Then I can draw this picture here. Then I can ask the question, and suppose this is, let's just call this 0. I could call it X. Well, let me call it X. And if I do that picture there, then I can look at what is, I want ddt of, I'm sorry, there should have been q there, q. ddt of q, dt at x. If at, evaluated at t equals 0. So dt is defined like that, but x doesn't move. So x is not the tip. X is this point. But it doesn't, actually, in the limit, doesn't really make any difference, okay? Now, something that's maybe a little bit hidden in a lot of the SLE calculations people do, it was certainly mentioned by Robert Bauer in his talk, maybe some other talks as well. One takes time derivatives for some quantities, especially when the quantity is not affected nearby. This quantity is independent of the choice of gamma. So the number that you get doesn't depend on the gamma. It only depends that you parameterized it correctly. And what you end up here, let me just tell you what you end up with, when the following quantity, and I got to define something new. And I owe you gamma. Now, so Q I've already given. When I say a second derivative, I just mean with respect to the X component. This is a function of X here, so that's just a second derivative in that variable. And then gamma dt ut, well, in language I like to use, it's the measure of Brownian bubbles at x that leave, I apologize here. All of this is at t equals 0, so you have to put the t equals 0 values of these things. Yeah, there's no reason, those are the t equals 0 values. And the Brownian measure of Brownian bubbles at x that leave D. So the picture, there's a Brownian bubble measure that corresponds basically to bubbles that sort of go like this, Brownian paths that go like this, leave D and come back. But let me write you a formula for it. At least if boundary D is smooth, let me just look at the case where the boundary D is smooth, because then I can give a nice little formula for it. There's a factor of pi times the integral over boundary of D. This could have many components. There's no problem there. I mean, this is the excursion Poisson kernel. There's X, there's Z, corresponding to excursions from X to Z. So in this picture, you think of having an excursion. It leaves D. It leaves D at a first time. That's the first time it leaves D. Then it has to return to X, and that's the return to X. So that's how you can read the formula. And then that's just length measure, and you get this. So actually there's now two quantities, QD of X and gamma D of X. Now, this formula for a simply connected D appears in work with Fendelin and Oded in works on restriction in the case where D is simply connected. And these formulas are particularly nice when D is simply connected. Yeah. This is the equation about Brownian motion. Yeah, this is not a question about SLE. This is a question about pick any curve, parameterize it by capacity. So there's no SLE in this. It's any curve parameterized by capacity. So this is a fact about Brownian motion or Brownian excursions, not about SLE. Right. Yeah. No, it's just, so yeah, Q is just something about Brownian motion in the domain. So if D is simply connected, so let me just draw a simply connected D. If it's simply connected, I can find, let's CD take D to the upper half plane, where we might as well fix 0, or, well, I'll do it at 0, it's okay. Fix infinity, we always like to have the derivative of infinity be 1, because then we don't have to decide what this means, whether it means this or 1 over it. Doesn't make any difference. Then QD of X is exactly the derivative of D at X, and gamma D of X is equal to, I got to write three different formulas for it. P people often write this in terms of the Schwarzian derivative. So that S stands for Schwarzian derivative. But if you don't know what that means, just use one of the other two definitions. So BD double prime of x squared over 4 BD prime of x squared minus BD triple prime of x over 6 BD prime of x. In fact, that is the definition of minus 1/6 times the Schwarzian derivative. But I want to write this also, since phi d prime is just q, I also like to write this as just q of dx prime squared over 4 q d of x minus q double prime dx over 6 q dx. It's the same thing. Okay, and just to point out, so calculation of this time derivative does not use SLE at all. It's facts about Brownian motion. But this is the fact that we need to then use Itô's formula on CT. So now we use Itô on CT. And I'm just going to write down what you get. I mean, it's not difficult. Straightforward. And I owe you what JT is. Where JT equals A gamma DT UT plus 1/2 1 minus A Q double prime over Q DUT minus 3 Q prime DUT squared over 2 Q DUT squared. So a lot of formulas I want to refer back to, but let me just, now we do just a standard trick. We let M sub t equal ct times the x of minus integral from 0 to t js ds. That M sub t is a local martingale, and in many cases, for smaller kappas, it's actually a martingale. once I have the martingale, or a local martingale, and I put little boundedness on it to make sure things don't get too crazy, or stop it, I can use Kirsanov. I now weight paths by the martingale. By the way, for those who are not so familiar with these things, I started with a discrete model. In a discrete model, at each step, I had to have a normalizing factor to make the probabilities equal to 1. These are the normalizing factors. That's basically the normalizing factors at each step. That's what's happening. And the fact that the normalizing factors don't look into the future. That's a key fact. Normalizing factors, if you know the path right now, you know what your normalizing factor is going to be. That's why you get something like that. And if you weight the path by the martingale, then it's equivalent, then the equivalent to it's this term . So it turns out, and this is just an easy exercise of Kirsanov. Now, if I want to weight by that martingale, it's the same thing as if I had given this drift to my Brownian motion. And the B appears there. Now, if you remember from yesterday's lecture, this is also the equation that you get for SLE kappa in the smaller domain. So this is where the identification comes. See, if I've weighted things by the martingale, this is exactly the same equation as, this is exactly the same thing as, at least for the simply connected case, it's the same thing as acting locally like SLE kappa in D sub T. It's the exact equation for that. And that's where the identification comes. It's not difficult to show that if you do things like this, you actually get a conformally invariant process. In fact, I'm not the first one to write this process down. It appears in Jean's thesis, and he called this thing random harmonic. What's the right order of words? Random harmonic Lerner chain. Harmonic random Lerner chain. And he noted that this was a way to produce a path that was one way to define an SLE in non-simply connected domains that would have conformal invariance. There turns out to be many, many, many different ways of doing it. And for many processes, this is not that natural. One reason why this isn't particularly natural is there's no reason to believe for B not equal to 1, for A not equal to 1, which is actually also B not equal to 1, that this is a reversible process. So if you're looking at something that should be an interface between domains, it doesn't make sense. But in terms of this process, it's what you get. I want to stop and just look at the formula I have up there, by the way, the J sub T formula. Maybe I won't write down all the facts. But first, one of the things you may note, the second term looks exactly like this with up to a factor. In fact, in the simply connected case, these two terms combine to become one term. So maybe I'll put it here. In the simply connected case, These combine to be one term. Which is just a Schwarzian derivative. And the what people call the compensation formula and restriction for the simply connected case is this term that's generally written in terms of the Schwarzian derivative. And there it is, and that's the intensity, and that's very closely related to the central charge. And okay. And there's an interpretation of this in terms of Brownian loops. Now, the loop soup interpretation of the path works equally well in non-simply connected domains for the term gamma. The gamma, these Brownian bubbles, are actually, you think of this as infinitesimally, if I've done a path for a while, and if I've got a loop on a path, I think of this being a bubble, take this slit domain, it's a bubble in that domain. So the Brownian bubbles, the gamma has a very nice Brownian loop interpretation. I don't really at this moment know how to interpret the second fact. By the way, a comment I should have made, I'll make it now. This doesn't make sense in the non-simply connected domain. But you might ask the question, but you could ask whether this equals this in the non-simply connected domain. The answer is no, it doesn't. So, I can take the integral of Q, and then I've got it, this is a Schwarzian derivative of something, but I don't have a good interpretation of it. Another comment is that B equals 1, the Luperace walk, corresponds to kappa equals 2. B equals 1 is kappa equals 2 is A equals 1. For A equals 1, note the term I don't understand very well disappears. So for non-simply connected domains, there's no problem defining the Luperace walk in the non-simply connected domains by erasing loops. In fact, I mean, to some extent, this was disappointing for me. I mean, I knew I could take a non-simply connected domain and take Luperace random walk in that non-simply connected domain. I could just do the construction. So I was telling some grad students, why don't you try doing that for other values? But there's something fundamentally different about the Luperace, even the SLE2 case from the other cases, and it's not clear there should be any loop soup interpretation for other cases. I want to finish by making a couple more remarks. Now, this is enough of the equations, because I just wanted to show you some of the equations that come up. Well, another thing is that actually this identification between this and the Laplacian random walk has also been done in the physics literature, although not using this terminology, but a paper of Hastings, I forget the exact title, but something like multifractal spectrum for the Laplacian walks or something. It's one of these short physics papers that honestly I don't understand what's happening. But he relates the Laplacian walk, and he gives the central charge for it, and he gives a certain formula for it, and then he uses it to compute the multifractal spectrum, to give it. He gives the same formula as to which B corresponds to which kappa. He says it in terms of central charge, but we know the relationship between kappa and central charge. And he computes the multifractal spectrum, but the multifractal spectrum, if you know it's SLE, the multifractal spectrum, at least up to physics proofs, so to speak, physics predictions, are things you can just do for SLE. I mean, they're crossing exponents for SLE. So, but wanted to acknowledge that paper.
I think
Since I wasn't there for that discussion, I apologize for not mentioning that, but I didn't hear it. I apologize. I came late. I'm sorry. This is the paper that I have read. Okay, or read somewhat. I mean, I understood it entirely. I don't. Okay, I wanted to certainly acknowledge the paper. Another fact is, well, I want to talk about, let me just talk about kappa equals 8/3, which corresponds to B equals 5/8. In a simply connected domain, it's expected, well, if this conjecture is correct, there's good reason to believe that the, well, it's definitely true that the Laplacian 5/8 motion is the same as SLE 8/3, it's the same as self-avoiding walk in a simply connected domain. In a non-simply connected domain, the Laplacian 5/8 walk is going to give you something different than you would predict for the self-avoiding walk. So Laplacian motion 5/8, non-simply connected, is not equal to the natural self-avoiding, self-avoiding walk in non-simply connected. And I could explain why, but I'm running out of time, so people can ask me later if they're interested. The last thing I sort of want to end with is that this viewpoint of looking, of weighting the paths by certain functions is actually a very natural way of looking at things, and there's some nice ones that you can do. Let me just mention a couple. So if we do SLE chordal in the upper half plane, I was using QD, basically QDX to the B, where QD is the probability that I reach, that excursion stays in there. Suppose I want to do SLE, chordal SLE from X to Z. To do chordal SLE from X to Z, I can just do chordal XLE in the upper half plane, weighted by the Poisson kernel between X and Z. So I just weight it by 1 over X minus Z squared. I could take a point on the inside, and I could take SLE chordal weighted by the Poisson kernel between X and W. That's radial SLE. Radial SLE is just chordal SLE weighted by the Poisson kernel between X and W. I can choose W on the inside. Instead of choosing the Poisson kernel, I can choose what you might call the 0 to infinity chordal Green's function, which is basically the function more or less derived by Rhoda and Schramm in terms of getting the fractal dimension of things. And if I weight by the sort of chordal Green function, then it's basically SLE conditioned to go through W, which is actually the first half of what should be two-sided SLE kappas. So there are many SLEs where you can think of them as basically, if you think of them sort of as weighted by a particular function, it gives at least another interpretation. And finally, since I am the last speaker, I would actually like to have this great opportunity to thank the organizers for a lovely meeting, even though I only came to part of it. I got so much information in the part that I was at. I'm sure that those who went to the whole thing got whatever factor more of that. So thank you very much. I must admit, Brownian bubbles I have intuition for. Schwarzian derivatives are just something what happens when I do a few terms of a Taylor series, and that's what I get. And that's how much intuition I have for Schwarzian derivatives. And they have some invariance properties, but it's... There's a variance property that the Brownian bubble measure satisfies. I tend to use the word conformal covariance, but it's a Murphy's. There are things that, yeah, there are reasons you would guess. I mean, why Schwarzian derivatives would be good predictor things to show up. Okay, let me tell you what. Let me tell you. Okay, let me talk for. Yes, I did, and I constructed this, and it wasn't. That's life. yes, no, I would have loved for this to be the same, but let me explain. In fact, what is SLE 8/3 in a non-simply connected domain? This I haven't proved, but this may actually be doable with a few technical things. I'll call it the restriction SLE 8/3 in a simply connected domain. In a non-simply connected domain. And actually, one could just apply it just directly from the restriction property, but I don't want to do it that way. I want to say is that it's SLE 8/3 weighted by the following function. And the following function is this. Let me call it f of dy is the probability that SLE 8/3 stays in D. That's the weighting function. For Laplacian 5/8, the weighting function is probability random walk stays, or Brownian excursion stays in D to the 5/8 power. So that's the weighting function for the Laplacian motion. This is the weighting function for SLE 8/3. So we should be, for the restriction SLE 8/3. They are the same function in simply connected domains, but by shrinking down just to a point, you can see that they're not the same function in non-simply connected domains. If you just look at your next exercise, take a little small, we know the probability that SLE 8/3 enters a little ball like that, decays like epsilon to the 2/3, where epsilon's the radius. The probability of Brownian excursion exits there decays like epsilon squared, like epsilon, something like epsilon. One minus epsilon to the 5/8 does not have the same, does not look like 1 minus epsilon to the 2/3. I don't think. As epsilon goes to 0. Right. They aren't. By the way, that's something I didn't say. B is the bound, the B everywhere here is the boundary scaling dimension, or the boundary scaling exponent for the corresponding SLE. I didn't mention. Yes. Right. So in this case, you can see it's a different function. So. Why should what not be 2/3? Well, 5/8 is correct for simply connected domains. So, I mean, the answer is, I mean, sort of in summary, you're somewhat right, is that this doesn't lead to what I would have liked in a perfect world to lead to, but I do think it's an interesting process.
to a flow of things that aren't going to be placed well there. Okay, thank you very much. And we would also like to thank the staff of the Institute for organizing this. Help us. So we can thank you.